بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا ونبينا محمد بن عبد الله الصادق الأمين. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله سيد الأنبياء وخاتم المرسلين. Respected elders and brothers, our beloved listeners, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and ahlan wa sahlan, and welcome to our weekly program. We ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, may Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant our marhumin jannatul firdaus. Allahumma aghfir lahum warhamhum wa sakkinhum fil jannah. Allahumma aghfir lahum warhamhum wa rawihhum fil jannah. And we ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, may Allah grant shifa to all our brothers and sisters, those who are ill. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala be with them, and may Allah grant them shifa un kamil. May Allah reward the family of the sick people ajr and sabr. Ameen thumma ameen ya rabbal alameen. Brother and sister in Islam, once again we welcome you to our program, and we say shukran jazeelan that you tune in to our channel, and may Allah reward you inshallah. We'd like to remind you that our program is a live program. Before we proceed to our topic tonight, just want to respond to our respected brother, the one who sent a message to me, and talking about the current problem which we hear on the news and we see in the Muslim countries and the world. When we look at this problem around us, we have to hold our deen, and we have to stick more towards our deen, because that is a hablullah, this is a robe of Allah. وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا. So that indication that there is no way to pass this world and to enjoy your life without that hablullah, or that robe of Allah. We call it the new Uhud. Muslim nowadays facing a new Uhud, the battle of Uhud. It was in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and now we are getting every Muslim in a country level, or in a family level, or in the individual. We say if you look at your life, you find yourself almost in one battle. It's called battle of Uhud. When we talk about Uhud, that battle which took about 63 ayah in Quran, the most famous and common ayat discussing one battle is called the battle of Uhud. Uhud is a mountain on Medina. Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam treat that Uhud as living being. He said, "Uhudun jabalun yuhibbuna wa nuhibbuh." That Uhud is a mountain, we love him and he loves us. Each and every one in his life faced a little bit of Uhud, the battle of purification. You put the gold on the fire to see who's the one who deserved that gold, the one who deserved that golden religion. 60 something ayah in Surah Ala Imran. Battle of Uhud. And the incident of Uhud is a proof that our Nabi is very important in our life and in the eyes of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Without Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are nothing. You are nothing, even if you claim that you are Muslim. Battle of Uhud and that current problem around us is a warning for anyone who wants to take chance behind Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or without Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anyone who disobey Allah and his Rasul, we call him, you are an Uhud in any type of sunnah or any type of sharia. Brother and sister in Islam, لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة. Indeed, you have a role model in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But if you look at me and you nowadays, we are not on the road of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why we rely on ourselves. We don't have any support from Allah and His Rasul, because Allah tabarak wa ta'ala gave Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam authority to guide me and you, even if you don't find that guidance in the Quran al-Karim. مَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ. Many of us, our Nabi gave us some sunnah and we didn't take it. Refuse, neglect, become lazy, or they think there is some alternative better than the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. مَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. Ayahs very clear that the teaching of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's our way of life. وَأَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولُ. Authority from Allah giving to Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to guide us. So this type of Uhud, which is happening now, because we neglected and we disregard the teaching of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Unfortunately, we have to say that. If you look, the dispatch of Uhud, it was like on Shawwal, first of Shawwal, like now. 3,000 kuffar reached Medina, leading by Abu Sufyan. Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made mashura with the Muslims, consult the Muslim. Can we go ahead or not? Must we fight out of Medina or not? Then he heard different type of opinion. Some said, no, we'll fight in Medina. Some said, no, you can't. We can't make that fight inside the holy city. Ya Rasulullah, never happened before Islam. How can we allow them to come and enter while you are amongst us? Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put on his helmet, went with 1,000 Muslims, only to face 3,000 disbelievers. And that 1,000 Muslims got munafiqeen, hypocrites. So many numbers of the hypocrites escape and run away from the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Remain only the third of this 1,000. Brothers and sisters in Islam, yes, in every project, in every holy and good initiative, you will find some people, we call them in Arabic, enemy of success. We call them enemy of success. That a'da'un najah, hypocrites, those who pull you back, don't want to encourage you to go ahead. You will find it now, not only in the time of Uhud. You want to build a masjid, you want to build madrasa, you want to do any khair, you find some of your family, some of your friends, they pull you back. Yes. So that's why we said, every Muslim facing the same similarity of Uhud. But our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us something. إِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ. When you have niyat, don't listen to your wife, don't listen to anyone. We call them the enemy of khair. Those people, يَسُدُّونَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Those who block and put obstacle for the road of Allah. Our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after the mashura, never listened to that mashura. He moved ahead and he practiced his plan. And he placed, used the asbab and means, 50 of the archers, and he gave them a strict order. Don't move from here. If you see us, run after them till Mecca. Never leave that place. If we win, we lose. Or if you see them, they're chasing us till Medina, don't leave that place. 50 of the archers. Now, you will see now the insan, those who follow their own desire, those who got the greed of dunya, those who put trust on means, but they never put a trust on Rasulullah, those who left the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Many people say, how come that Muslim did not win in the battle of Uhud? Well, Nabi was there, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It happened to me when I went to the Johannesburg Muslim prison. I don't know if I want to say that on air or I must say it between me and Bilal. Then one of religious workers there, not Muslim, he told me, Sheikh, I said, yes, I want to ask you, you just meet by the gate. How come the Allah left Prophet Muhammad there on battle of Uhud, never help him? I was not in the mood of debate. I tell him, yeah, why Father left Jesus on the cross and let him be killed according to you? I just want to let him go. And then he never greet, he walk away, this man. So now, Allah did not leave Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah left those who left Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know who is the real winner in the battle of Uhud? The real winner on the battle of Uhud is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You rely on your cleverness and your skills. You are nothing without the command of Allah and His Rasul. So, you did not obey Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, man to man, face of the Muslim against face of the kuffar without the barakah and tawfiq of Allah. But don't forget, you got some people, Allah praised them on the battle of Uhud. Like Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself never ran away. In France, there is a badge or award for the fighter. They call it the mosquito badge or the award. I don't know why mosquito. Or the fly. They call it the fly. So I asked that man, say, why do you put in France that for the soldiers or the fighter or the commander, they give him that that nishan or that award? It's called the fly nishan. He said, yes, because the real winner on the fight is the one who did not withdraw, that didn't want to leave the battlefield. That is the real one. So we check who is the one who did not leave the fight or the fight place. You know, like the fly, I say, what's wrong with the fly? You say, yes, when you chase the fly, comes back. When you got the fly on your face, you chase it and you hit it, it fly a little bit and come back. You see, subhanallah. I was asking one doctors and scientists about that fly. Why this fly come back? Because I hit that fly very bad. He said, no, I got Alzheimer, short memory. So only few seconds and then forgot that you are the same one. You know, like a beggar on the street. Hafiz Bilal is smiling now behind the window there. They say the beggars, because he doesn't capture the face of the people on the street, so he can come to you again. And he ask you, I need to buy medicine, and then you go on another report, you find you repeat the same story. So, Sahaba, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam never left the battlefield ever. Not only that, and he said, "Ana Nabiyyu la kadhab, ana ibn Abdul Muttalib." He announced, he never hide. You know, when we find the fight and the war nowadays, the president of the country, they hide him somewhere. They hide him sometimes on the sky, the aeroplane, or they put him under the very secure place. But Rasulullah was there on the front line. And not only that, he said, "There is me, ana Nabiyyu la kadhab." And Ibn Abdul Muttalib. And some Sahaba, they were next to him. Allahu Akbar. But we learn something from the Battle of Uhud. Command of Rasulullah. It's very important for your success. Stop saying it's a hadith, it's a sunnah. No, it is part of your deen. And it is sunnah is from Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Disobey Rasulullah leads to lose and regret and defeating. You look at Sayyidina Mus'ab bin Umair. Look at Sayyidina Anas ibn al-Nadr. How he did in the battle of Uhud. Look at Sayyidina Talha ibn Ubaidillah. Look at Sayyidina Hanzala. Look at Sayyidina Khaythama. Look at Sayyidina Amr ibn al-Jamuh. Each and every Sahabi which I mention now, he got story, a very heavy story in the battle of Badr, Uhud. And we very proud of these people. They done something unbelievable. Brothers and sisters in Islam, let us come back to the command of Allah and His Rasul. Take it serious. Stick with your deen. Practice your deen. You will see the Nasrullah and the victory of Allah and the muhabbat of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will never leave His servant. May Allah Rabbul Izzah tabarak wa ta'ala save us from the fitna to dunya. May Allah guide us to peace inshaAllah. Now, I know our time is running very fast, and my topic today is about a major sin. We're having a problem nowadays that we don't know if our sin is big or small, because many people say it's a small haram and big haram. The ulama, they make it very clear. The kabair and sagair, or they call it lamam. Kabair, the major sin, come from kabira. And then we got sagair or lamam, that is a minor sin. But Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas said, no, there is nothing, it's called big or small, because la sagir, there is a hadith. La sagirata ma'a israr. There is no minor sin if you do it repeatedly. Sagira plus sagira plus sagira is going to give you kabira. One drop of water, another drop, another many drops, so you will get a packet of water or a river. The rain is drops. And wala kabira ta ma astighfar, there is no major sin if you make tawbah from it. Finish now. So, why we are talking about the kabair today? Because there is a muhlikat. Muhlikat, it means that the sin which destroy your iman and destroy your good deeds. So I gave my topic tonight to those who disregard their haram, or they think they got a false hope. You know, Allah is Ghafur Rahim. Allah is Ghafur Rahim if you did proceed to tawbah as Allah wanted. So how you know that your sin is bigger one or major sin? If Allah brought Sharia law to it, like cutting the hand, or lashing, stoning that person, that one, if you see that type of sin with that hudud, you must know that is a big one. Right. If Allah promised Jahannam and Azab for these people, so you must know that action is big. If there is la'nat, curse, you must know that one is major sin. If in Sharia they give that man title, it's called fasiq. Or there is the anger of Allah, that one we call it major sin. So again, if there is Sharia law for it in dunya, Allah promised that person azabun akhirah. Allah cursed that person. The ummah called that person fasiq. Or there is anger of Allah, that type of action, it's called kabira. Lamam, that anything else. There is no one free from it. Salah, remove it. Istighfar. But Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Iyakum wa muhaqqiratu dhunub. Be careful of that minor sin. Small one. The unnoticed haram. فَإِنَّهُنَّ يَجْتَمِعْنَ عَلَى الرَّجُلِ. They can come to the person حَتَّى يُهْلِكَنَّ. Till they destroy him. Viruses and bacteria and microbe is very small. Very weak actually. But once it comes, finish that person. So, we have external sin. People can see it. That's why we call it hudud. People, when they see the external sin, the sin when we catch people doing it, they call it hudud. And there is a law for that. There is a law even in a constitution or police law, whatever they call it, because you commit the crime, external one. And we got internal one, the secret one. Someone is envy, so how are you going to catch him? Someone got arrogance or pride. Only Allah knows it, and you, the person. The law, you can't. The police arrest you, say, no, because you are greedy, or you are arrogant, or you are jealousy. But no. We need a physical crime. The first biggest one, is kufr. The person come and declare kufr. Kufr is disbelief. That is not a sin. It's, you call it kufr. Kufr, disbelief in Allah. This is a big one. Oh, believe in Allah, but disbelief in malaika, angels. who books of Allah, messenger of Allah, you know that the seven believe, Yawm al-Akhir, Taqdeer, life after death. That one, yeah, it's called a proper kufr. This. Then we got something, it's called hidden kufr. Hidden kufr, only you and Allah knows that kibr, jealous, anger, zulm, all that type of hypocrisy and all that. Then we go to another major sin, it's called shirk. Shirk is to associate partner with Allah. And very, very serious issue, the shirk. Because every religion get affected by this one. Look at the religion of Christianity or Judaism or some Muslims. That virus goes to your heart and your mind, and you discover that you are mushrik on the day of Qiyam, on the time of death. And this is the biggest problem of the children of Adam. All the children of Adam, except those Allah has selected them, get involved in shirk. Fir'aun, Somariyun, every place and every society and every era, you got they got type of shirk. You got biggest shirk and you got shirkul akbar and shirkul asghar. The Roman has 20,000 god. The Chinese and they worship the grandfathers and sky and great people and philosopher. And then you got the people who worship the animals, cows, fire. The Babylon, you got 65 god. The Arabs before Islam, every house got god. Every house got idols. Yahudi made Uzair, Isa, the Nasara make Isa. That one is the biggest problem. Why I'm saying the shirk is very, very serious issue in our life? Because the first question and interview in the grave is about that one. Marra book. Who's your Lord? You will heard unbelievable answer. Allah said that in ashrakta la yahbatanna amal. If you are mushrik, all your deeds not accepted, become invalid. That's why you said, don't talk about sincerity, don't talk about worshipping, to whom you worship, for who that ibadah goes to. Someone sitting in the train, lovely couch, nice 5-star couch, nice seat, and then aircon. Everything very lovely, nice music, nice view, TV, but the train is going to the wrong destination. You can't braise the aircon and lovely seat and nice journey and fast train. You are not going to your destination. If the train going to Namibia, and then you are jumping on the train going to Cape Town, don't braise that train and say, what a lovely train. Look at the seats, look at the luxury, the luxury the surface there. My friend, you are on the wrong train. Jump on the train, take you there, even if you find some difficulties there. Maybe you got a wooden seat, maybe you don't have nice aircon, you're struggling, but your train is going there to your destination. You will go home. Many people, they like convenience and religion. Yes, we talk to, with my full respect to all the people of religion. You say, no, we pray only once a week. Our religion is very easy. So you're brazing the train. Islam is very difficult. You got so many rules. You see, you're criticizing the train, but you are going. You are in the wrong direction. Brother and sister Islam, many people, they think that the command of Allah is difficult. Islam control them. Islam give them some sort of hardship. No. That hardship and that difficulties, it's a right place and right way to reach your destination. So the first hisab on the grave is about that shirk. We don't want to talk now. We see how many Muslims found themselves on shirk. And if you ask them what you're doing, you say, قَالُوا إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُصْلِحُونَ. We are doing the fasting. After you fix that problem of shirk, with a real belief and real aqidah, you go to something very important. It's called obedience of your parents. Birrul walidain. The biggest haram after shirk is disobeying your parents. When I say uququl walidain, it means your dad and mom are not happy with you. Maybe they never tell you, but Allah knows what they feel. Impossible for that person to claim that he got iman, oh, he's a worshiper of Allah. Forget about it. I'm on a radio station. I'm fully responsible for what I'm saying. And I'm ready to debate. For those who disobey their parents, they try to fix his mom and dad, try to stand against his father and mother as he's a classmate or his elder brother or he's a neighbor. Parents are parents. So I did make a program about the birrul walidain, the goodness to your parents, but I just want to remind you that if you have a problem with your mom and dad, never ever think once that you are salih or you are true worshiper of Allah. You have big error, because this is after shirk is another major sin. It's called uququl walidain, raising your voice, calling your dad with his name, even if he accepts it. Never respect him and never give him dignity. Never thank your parents for what he done to you. Favoring your wife disregard your mom. Never give a full dignity and honor to your mom and dad, even if they are not Muslim. Never make dua to your parents for your parents after salah. Never fulfill the wasiyah, the will of your parents. You giving your parents some taklif and burden which he cannot do it, especially our elderly parents, those who are above the age of 50. He had enough, and we see the children and daughters nowadays and the wife put the pressure on this man, especially for the financial problem. This man physically is unable to make money. Fi Allah, don't put a pressure on that person. Make it easy for this person to eat halal and live halal and to worship Allah, and let that man die in peace. So it's very, very important when we find a wife and their children, put a pressure on the husband, elderly person with a grey hair on his face and his head, going to do haram and funny thing just to satisfy the wife and children by putting himself on the azab of Allah. This man, after the age of 50, he deserves to return and rehabilitate his iman and come back to Allah, because it's a time of departure. Another type of major sin which is very common amongst us, nisyanullah, forgetting Allah. Yes, forgetting Allah when you're having a problem. Actually, we're supposed to remember Allah when we have a problem. When you commit a sin, you did forget Allah, because you don't watch him, you don't feel that he's watching you. When you attach with something besides Allah, when you have attachment with a makhluk, you're supposed to attach your heart with the Khaliq, the creator of Allah. So you got some people, when they see their children, they forgot Allah. When he's dealing with his money, he forgot Allah. And he disregards salah and ibadah, and sacrificing the deen for the sake of his wealth and for his children and for the dunya. Brother and sister in Islam, Allah is first. Be realistic, be clever. Do favor for yourself. Put Allah first. Because in the qabr you will find Allah. You won't find any one of the children or the wealth or the dunya. I'm very sorry because I'm a bit negative tonight, but we have to say it. The next one, I don't know, Sahaba, they were scared of that one a lot. It's called hypocrisy, nifaq. How you know that this is hypocrisy? When your secret are totally different than alan, openly. You got hypocrisy on aqaid, on the belief. You got some people are kuffar, but hidden kuffar. Doesn't like the Sharia. He's not happy with the command of Allah. That one they call it kufrul batin. Internal kufr. But we feel shy to talk about when the people are not happy of the Sharia. Oh, you got something also, it's called kufrul lisan. That the kufr of the tongue. You say something, you don't do it, or you don't believe in it. Allah mahfazna. Allah save us. Or some people just declare the kufr by his tongue. That's why we did make a program before about the evil of the tongue. You die with one, your iman is gone. Then we got hypocrisy of a'mal. Someone is doing something, he doesn't believe in it. And then the biggest one, they call it hypocrisy on ibadah. Hypocrisy on ibadah. Just worship Allah for people, not for Him. It's very dangerous. Only worship Allah for people. Worship Allah when you need something from Allah. Then we got something very dangerous also. It's called riya, show off piety. Many of us, we try to look holy and religious. الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاءُونَ. Using their deeny work to be mentioned. Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna yasira riya'i shirkun." Little bit of that riya is shirk. You can't. You can't worship Allah for the sake of people. And many ulama said, if the king comes and I fix my beard while I'm making salah, I am that person. You leave the work, or you do the work for the sake of people, not for the sake of Allah. Brother and sister in Islam, be careful of riya, the show of piety. Show of piety, actually no Muslim, a true Muslim, can trust his iman and rely on that iman. Sahaba, the Anbiya, they were worried a lot with their iman. Allah praised them on Quran, but they never take a chance on that. Then we got something called al-fawahish. May Allah save me and you and all our listeners from that fahisha. Fahisha in Quran, it's zina zina and sodomy. Or some ulama said no, al-fahisha is a major sin. Al-fawahisha ma zahara minha wa ma batan. That fahisha, that zina, or that sodomy, or that big haram, ugly haram, which we know about it, and what we do not know about. Because not every zina being caught, not every zina people realize, you got plenty people, may Allah save all our listeners from that, committing that adultery, never being caught. So Allah said, that this, to call it bawatin, that hidden, internal one, secret one, never been caught. Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allahumma jannibna al-fawahish ma zahara minha wa ma batan. Oh Allah, let us avoid that type of sin, which we know about it, and we do not know. Like for example, people make that, they commit that type of adultery, that haram, with married people, or with children, or with animal, or with any type, we never know. We never. And Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala said, La taqrabu zina. Do not. When we say taqrabu, I don't know, people they translate it wrong. When we say La taqrabu zina, do not come closer to zina. All that media, or that Facebook, or that means can lead you to zina. We can't reach that media or that type of act at all. He never said, don't come to my house. He said, no, don't come closer to my house. La taqrabu zina. So you have to leave 3-4 streets before you see that house. 3-4 streets. We call it precaution. Prevention better than cure. So stay away. Even men and women, if they're teaching one another Quran, we don't want that Quran. Don't do that. Zina. zina. It's the major sin, and the punishment and the effect of that zina appear in our lifetime. Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ittaqu zina, avoid zina, fa inna fihi sitta khisal," because it has six serious effect. Khisal, it means result or outcome. Number one, yurithul faqr, will lead you to poverty. You see how many kings and emirs and rich people, wealthy people, lost their life because of that desire and lost their wealth. Yunqisul umr, shorten your lifetime. Yes, you see the AIDS and all this sickness coming here. Yudhibul baha, remove the noor of the face of the person. Baha, it means dignity and respect. And Nabi Muhammad said to that man, "I can see the reflection of zina on your face." And then sakhatullah, the anger of Allah, the curse of Allah. So imagine a person, Allah curse him, how are you going to get tawfiq? How are you going to get that blessing of Allah? Allah is not happy, he's already marked that person out of the list. Then su'ul hisab, will give you terrible hisab on the grave. Not hisab and yasira, not easy hisab. Then the last one is called Adhabun Nar. End up to Adhabun Nar. All the people of Islam, they ask Allah, Faqina Adhabun Nar, Faqina Adhabun Nar. Except that person, he will get Adhabun Nar, the severe punishment of Jahannam. And Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about zina. لَمْ تَظْهَرُ الْفَاحِشَةُ فِي قَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُعْلِنُوا بِهَا. When that zina and fahisha become common, and the announcement on the society, illa zaharat fihum al awja' wal asqam, till you see the sickness and diseases, allati lam takun fi aslafihim, you will never heard about it before. Nowadays people are scared to go to salon to shave their hair, they are scared to go to the public toilet, people are scared to shake the hand of one another because of that. Innocent people got HIV and AIDS just like that. And then you find a sickness removed to the baby and the fasad. You affecting not only you, you affecting the whole society. That's why I said no, that is not your choice. You are deciding for the health problem of the community. When we find a person who said no, don't make zina, it's not your business. Allah is my business, because you get HIV and you give it to the people, you eat with me, we're sharing the same house, we're sharing the same... No. You say, no, it's taqdeer. Yeah, not taqdeer. It's your action, my son. It's your action. Don't put it on the taqdeer. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us and save us from that type of haram. Then we talk about the ulama, they put under this fahisha, the I don't know what you call it, the sodomy, or the type of heterosexuality, abnormal sexuality, because these people, they change the fitrat of Allah, and they claim that Allah did not create the human body on the right way. So they involve in kufr. Another major sin, it's called khamr, intoxication, or wine, or alcohol. I don't know so much about this wine and all that, but we pick up the hadith and say, what is khamr? Khamr comes from the Arabic word is called khamira. So what is khamira? That yeast, the lady baked the bread with it. You put that yeast there, the yeast, on that type of you buy it from the bakery, you put it there on the cake flour, and then that dough rise till they fill the pot or the plate. So when these people drinking that type of drink goes to the brain and rise it and grow till they feel high, and then after a few hours back to normal size. Khamr is رجس من عمل الشيطان. خمر is the evil filth from the act of shaitan. خمر مدمن خمر, the person who addicted to خمر. I don't know why the children, they don't count the injection and the coffee syrup and all this as not a khamar. Khamar, any type of drink, there's no specific name for it. They say if you drink the milk and cause intoxication for you, so it's going to count it as a khamar. One man also was debating with a alim and said, how come? This was a grape. It was a grape. You see, now grape, you eat the grape is halal, but now grape after that process is haram. But still grape. Oh, that alim will give him and give the nice answer. He said, yes, your mother is a lady, is a female, and your wife is a female, same like a grapes. So if it's the same, so you can sleep with your mother. It's the same like that. No, the tahrim and tahleel, Allah knows. Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was warning me and you to get involved on khamar. Because that khamar comes and destroys the most noblest part of your body, is called the common sense. And look at the drunk and intoxicated person, look at him. Look at him, if he's old man or young or man, how he looks. Look at his eyes and his face. مُدْمِنُ خَمْرٍ كَعَابِدِ وَثَنْ. The one who involved, Ibn Majah, narrates this hadith, that anyone involved on drugs and alcohol is equal to the idol worshipper. Why is idol worshiper? Because idol worshiper, he has no common sense. How come he worship a stone and rock? And also, you damaging, you become worse because you are destroying the idol worshiper doesn't use his brain. But the one who get that drugs or that wine, he's damaging the brain. Yes, so wine is equal to idols. Wine is creating enmity. Look at the fight there on the place there with the khamar. Khamar, it means you will never remember Allah. Khamar, you gain the curse of Allah. Not only you, may Allah save you. The one who drink it, the one who pour it, the one who sell it, the one who buy it, the one who juice it, the one who carry it, the one who store it. 10 people involved in that process. That's why many people say, no, I only sell it. Oh. So we ask Allah Rabbul Izzat Tabarak wa Ta'ala, may Allah save our children and the Ummah from any type of khamar. And alhamdulillah, is not so common amongst the Muslim, but we have to understand that it is a major sin. Another type of major sin, brothers and sisters in Islam, that pride and kibr, arrogance. Kibr, it means you make yourself kabir, big. Why kibr is a major sin? That pride and arrogance. Because you are using the qualities of Allah for yourself. Only Allah is al-kabir. But how come you claim that you are kabir? You are not kabir. Because once you say kabir, you are taking one qualities of Allah and you gave it to yourself. That's why we fight with the parents when they gave their children kabir. I say, what's wrong? Now you don't have any other name. Sheikh, is it haram or halal? I say, I don't know. I'm not a mufti, but why are you choosing this name? You find one man, he said, my son is kabir. I say, oh, kabir, like straight kabir like this. Yeah, kabir is great. Yeah, but kabir is one of the names of... No, that one is al-kabir. Okay. We don't like to say like that because we need that person to humiliate yourself and to avoid that qualities of Allah. What is kibr? Batrul haq, rejecting the truth. Many parents, when the son correct them, say, how come you correct me? You are my son. Or maybe his worker or his wife, his maid, or small man in the street, he just correct you, say, no, I don't. I'm too big to listen to that person. وَغَمْتُ النَّاسِ. غَمْتُ النَّاسِ, it means disregard people. Well, you put them down. You lower them. You make yourself, you have that superior. You put yourself high. When you drive your car and you have a feeling, because kibr is a feeling, when you drive and you have a feeling that you yourself are more higher than the other people, it's bad. It's kibr. When you wear the clothes, when you talk, sometimes to keep quiet is a problem also. You got some gathering and one man sitting on the corner there, he doesn't talk. So people now are stealing the show. Why not talking? This gathering is too small for me. I can't talk. وَغَمْتُ النَّاسِ. Look at Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, الْكِبْرُ بَطْرُ الْحَقِّ وَغَمْتُ النَّاسِ. بَطْرُ الْحَقِّ means you don't want to agree of the truth coming from someone lower than you. وَغَمْتُ النَّاسِ. غَمْتُ النَّاسِ, it means you try to lower the people by any action. Any action, we call some people قَعْرُ مَجْلِسِ. What is قَعْرُ مَجْلِسِ? He like to be in the front, and he like to lead, and he like to let everyone listen to him. And some people don't talk, but also they steal the show. They try to make himself significance, separate. You know, women like this, when they're wearing abaya on a wedding, on a day of Eid, or in any gathering, they try to say, here I am. But Ahlullah, the people of Allah, Al-Akhfiya Al-Atqiya. Akhfiya, it means they don't need to be mentioned, or they don't look for fame and name. They are unknown, hidden people amongst us. Why we are mutakabbir, why we have that arrogance and that pride? Because of ilm. Maybe you know more, educated more, you learn it more. We tell him, wait. Knowledge, if it doesn't lead you to iman and akhlaq, you become like Iblis. Iblis also the most learned one. Shaitan knows so much. Maybe wealth, money. Qarun. Qarun was very rich, but his wealth never helped him. Maybe nasab, lineage, family, tribe, race. Abu Lahab was the uncle of Rasulullah. You need more race than the tribe and honor more than that. Authority. You have power. Look at Haman. Look at all these type of people. The authority destroyed them. Maybe power. You got power. Remember the power of Allah. Beauty. Look at the mayit on the grave. Brother and sister in Islam, no, I'm not fighting and say don't have knowledge, don't have wealth. No. You can have knowledge, you can have wealth, you can be from a great family and tribe, authority, but if you use it to serve people, if you use it to practice the deen of Allah, what a lovely person you are. And you become kabir in the eyes of Allah. And that type of attitude, the kibr and pride, destroy many people. Yes. They destroyed that type of qualities. They destroyed many people. And then, how many people just change a little bit? And then they become arrogant, they make zulm, and they forgot their history. يَتَغَيَّرُ قَلْبُهُ بِتَغَيُّرْ حَالِهِ. His heart changed because of his condition change. How many people they were living with us? Allah gave them authority and ran away somewhere, live with the rich. Then he ignore, doesn't even visit his village, doesn't visit his family, doesn't know his relatives. You see them on a function, doesn't want to know you. It's very terrible. لا يدخل الجنة من كان في قلبه مثقال ذرة من كبر. He said it straight. Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that the person who got an atom of pride in his heart will never enter Jannah. Because this person is fighting Allah on his quality. You got another type of major sin, which also they call it fasad fil ard, corruption on earth. Fasad, we're having a two type of fasad. Fasad, people deliberately do it. Another type of fasad, the mufsid, that person who make corruption, he doesn't know that he's making fasad. تَخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى. He took his ideology, his own desire as a method of life. Allah said in Quran, ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. corruption appeared on land and on sea. Fil bar, yes, on the land, you see now. See how much fight and war, how much pollution, how much corruption on earth. You see it every day. How many type of bloodshed and corruption, water and all that. How many children been corrupted? How many women? How many men? How many students? How many million of people been corrupted and die with this facade? And Bahar, sea, yes. Oh, Allahu Akbar. There are fish now, they don't find a place to live. Too much pollution on the sea. Brothers and sisters in Islam, the greatest ibadah, the ulama can do it nowadays, to fight that corruption. Fight that ignorance, oppression, corruption of the mind. Bring the people to fitrat of Allah. Bring the people to the same setting of Allah. We call it Allah's setting, like factory setting. We're being corrupted with our parents, the teachers, society, streets, friends, media, TV and radios. Bring people back to that natural thing which Allah gave, fitratullah, allati fatara an-nas alayha. La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah is the main fitrat before that corruption of the religion and the churches and belief. It was the main belief is La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. May Allah Rabbul Izzat Tabarak wa Ta'ala safeguard all of us inshallah. Brothers and sisters in Islam, Hafiz Bilal asked me to stop now. Inshallah we'll continue next week. May Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala safeguard from you, of you from any type of major sin. May Allah guide you inshallah to follow the footsteps of our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Once again we say shukran jazilan. See you inshallah next week. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.